So January happened.
It sure did.
I don't remember anything from it, though, so I guess nothing terribly important happened.
I don't want to remember.
Elon continues to be a trash pail when it comes to Twitter. But I finally came to the realization that Twitter is no longer a social platform, social media platform.
Uh-huh. What is it?
It's just the plaything of a rich guy. It's just Elon's plaything now. It's not a social media platform anymore because it's not acting like a social media platform. It's turning all the stuff off so developers can't use it anymore, and they're changing all the rules without any notice and whatnot. It's not really important to get into, but that was the realization I had. It's not a social media platform anymore.
Huh.
As soon as I get a few minutes, which is going to be a while from now because I have some projects to finish, but as soon as I get the time, I'm going to switch over to Mastodon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I may still have to go on to Twitter to follow some of the news sources I have if they haven't switched over yet, but that's it. I will delete everyone else off of there and just follow the news that I have to follow there and then go to Mastodon for everything else.
Yeah, I'm off Twitter. I've been off for a while, and I don't miss it.
That's not news. Yeah, that's not news.
It is old news, but I don't miss it. I don't miss any of it.
I don't know anyone who has left Twitter who says they miss it.
Right.
Only thing I've heard is, oh my God, 3 weeks after leaving Twitter, I'm like, my life is so much better. I am so much less stressed. I have more time. I'm actually reading books, things like that. Horrible, horrible things like that. People getting back to their lives. Who do they think they are? This is the 21st century. You don't get to have a life.
Oh my God.
You have to get squashed by social media sites. That's the whole point of being alive these days. If you're not being part of someone's algorithm or being fed an algorithm,
right,
you're just a bad American.
It was just like people screaming into the void. I never thought that it was that interesting. For a minute, I did. That was years ago. So anyway.
Yeah, that's when you had followers.
I kind of got into it, and I don't know. I don't miss it. And I have so much else to do. You know, some of the other things to do that it's that would just be a time suck of.
Speaking of other things to do, my son bought me a wildly expensive. Well, I don't know if it was wildly expensive, but in my mind, Lego kit for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
It was a complete surprise out of nowhere. The really shocking thing is it's called the Galaxy Explorer, and my parents bought me the original Galaxy Explorer in like 1984.
Uh-huh.
40 years ago, I got this exact same present.
Oh my God.
Except this is the modernized version of it, so it's way fancier. But it's basically the same goddamn thing, and it's amazing. You probably don't know, but 1980s space Legos are the best Legos of all time.
I did not know that.
Well, you do now. I've got that on the back burner, plus I bought a new 3D printer.
Oh.
Which is freaking amazing.
What are you making?
Wine glasses, whiskey glasses, stuff like that. So the same old, same old.
I see.
Bamboo Labs P1P. So it's a cheap one. So this is funny. Oh, gosh. I'll have to send you pictures of this. But
okay.
Bamboo Labs is a new company, and they're making basically a disruptive printer. It's disrupting the entire space because it prints better than a $5,000 printer, and I bought mine for $700. But I bought the stripped down one. So they have they've got a really nice fancy one. It looks absolutely beautiful. It looks like something you would see at an Apple store. It literally looks like you took a Mac Mini, which is, you know, their really small desktop unit, and just extruded it up because it's an aluminum box with rounded corners and a glass front and a glass top.
Wow.
Except I didn't get that one. That's the upgraded version. That's the nice one. That's the X1.
Wow. And so what does it make it out of? I don't really understand 3D printers.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are a lot of different ones, but I have the simple one, FDM.
Okay.
And the FDM printers are basically very fancy hot glue guns. So you know how a hot glue gun works, right?
Right, right, right.
All
right.
So imagine it takes plastic, and it heats up the plastic, and then it squirts it out a metal nozzle.
Okay.
So the difference here between just you destroying your household and your mannequins with a hot glue gun is that in a 3D printer, it's controlled on an XYZ axis.
Okay.
Very, very precisely. So it squirts out one layer, and then it goes up a little bit, and then it squirts out another layer. And layer by layer, it can print whatever you want it to print.
So you put in the dimensions, like you'd have to program it somehow. How would you do like a face, like if you're going to do a mask or something?
All right, well, a quick walkthrough. If I wanted to print out your face, why I would want to do that? But just assume I needed to have a 3D version of you here at any given time.
Right.
I could actually use a 3D scanner on your face to get the geometry.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or you can even use your phone now to do that. Because especially that you have the fancy iPhone. The fancy iPhone has a LiDAR detector on the front of it. So for this front facing camera. Yeah, it is there for face unlock.
Oh, I don't use that.
But it is literally scanning the three-dimensional surface of your face. So there are apps you can get that you can use it and like move it around your face and it will generate a 3D model of your face.
Because I thought that would be kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun to do some sculptures like that. Well, that's essentially what you're doing.
So. I don't know. Well, I'm using it for work purposes. I, I do work for the glass company, so I'm designing and printing out prototypes, and it's, you know, it's really fast for that. It's a pretty good usage case.
Nice.
It's a fancy hot glue gun, and it's smaller, obviously.
Oh wow! Yeah, I just never understood. I thought that they made it out of paper or something.
Well, there is one that's made out of paper. Actually, there are a couple. Okay. There's another one called LOM. I don't know if this is still a thing. The work I used to work for had an LOM. It was a big-ass machine. It was like
a 24,
2 foot by 4 foot print bed, which is really huge. My current work bed is 10 inches by 10 inches by 10 inches. That's the cube.
Okay.
I can't print anything bigger than that.
Okay.
The paper is on a roll. The bottom of the paper has hot glue embedded in it, so you lay the paper over the printing bed. Then you have a heating element that comes over it, and that activates the glue. It glues it down to the heating bed, and then you use a laser, a very precisely tuned laser, that just cuts that layer of paper.
Oh wow!
And then you layer another piece of paper over it with that same glue on it, and use the heating element to glue it down to the layer below it, and use another laser to cut out that layer. So little by little, of course, at the end you get a solid block of paper, and you have to kind of pull it apart. But that's pretty boring. I'll probably cut that out.
Okay.
There are all kinds of different ways to have 3D printers.
Oh, I'll have to look into those. Not that I need one.
The FDM is the simplest one, and the one you can like literally buy one for $150. So back to my bamboo P1P. The thing of note is that, as I was explaining, it's a beautiful machine, but not mine. I got the cheap one. The beautiful one literally looks like an Apple product with aluminum sides and glass tops and whatnot.
And how much are those?
$1,000 for the X1. The X1 carbon is, I think, it's maybe $1,500. But you take that beautiful machine and then you leave it on the streets of Detroit overnight, and that's what mine looks like, because basically they stripped all the nice sheeting off it, and it looks like the insides of a computer.
Oh, I see.
It's just the raw guts just hanging out all over the place.
But hey, if it works.
Well, it's cheaper too.
Yeah,
and
it's cheaper.
Does work. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. So I was okay with
that. Well, good.
So the other thing.
What?
My brother-in-law stopped by from Durango. He went paragliding. Do you know what paragliding is?
Yeah.
Is that insane?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Apparently, they're much safer now. But I always thought of paragliding as, you know, so it's paragliding. It's like a parachute, except it's a wing, and you go sailing through the air with it. But it's not a fixed wing. It's not a rigid wing. It's basically just fabric that you can literally pack into a backpack. You take it out of the backpack, and you know, you lay it out, and then you let the wind expand it and fill it up, and then it blows you off the cliff, and you fly around off the cliff.
Yeah, that's just not my idea of a good time.
So at any moment, the thing could collapse, right? If the wind changes or something, the whole wing could just collapse, and then you're kind of left in the air. No, you're not, because gravity.
Right. I would be so scared, James. Everything you're describing is just not my thing.
Right, but it does sound amazing. You're just flying through the air.
But why doesn't it collapse again?
And some people have little harnesses so they can take their dogs with them.
No way.
Yes.
I would never subject my dog to that.
He didn't take his dog, though.
No, I wouldn't.
He had his dog with him, but he didn't fly with it. So apparently, you know, the old ones could collapse, but the new ones are designed a little bit differently so that if the wind changes or they lose, you just don't have a wind anymore.
Right.
They're designed to turn into parachutes.
Oh, that's safer.
Doesn't that sound nice? It's like you're in an aircraft that is made out of fabric, and then if something goes wrong, it's automatically a parachute.
Fantastic.
I like that idea.
I might do that. No, I wouldn't ever do that.
I know, it still seems like, can you imagine being a few hundred feet off the ground just floating around? Man, that sounds crazy. Sounds amazing, but crazy. Yeah, so he used
jumping
to do
off
this.
A cliff.
I didn't realize this, but he used to do this before he was married, and apparently his wife told him he couldn't do that anymore when they had a kid.
I don't blame her.
When they had a kid. The kid is now in college, though, so he's like, yeah, I think it's time to do that again.
It's time to jump off a building, yeah.
Okay. I think they walk off. Oh, I think they slowly walk off the edge of a cliff into the great unknown.
Literally, if everything went wrong.
He was doing that in California. He was seeing his daughter, who's in college in California, and he was on his way back, and he decided to stop here in Phoenix, which is nice. It's always nice to see him.
That's nice.
But he's got this beautiful RV, this beautiful rig. It's old, but it's beautiful. And he was backing into our driveway because he was going to stay overnight, and he kind of smashed into the house.
Did he hurt the house?
A little bit. Smashed one of the eaves.
The little house.
Actually, I was more worried about his camper because it's a beautiful fiberglass shell. I didn't get a good look at it. I don't think the shell was cracked, but I hope not. because it would probably be more expensive to repair his, more troublesome to repair his camper than the house.
Than the house, right? Interesting. Oh my gosh. The poor little house got smushed.
I thought it'd be easier just to bill him for a new house.
I think that'd be good. Have you had your coffee today?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we have topics. Shit, why am I going on about myself?
I don't know. I wasn't completely convinced with this information you sent me about the coffee pods.
It's on the BBC. It's got to be true.
Because you're a Keurig user, right? Not yes. An espresso. Okay.
Oh, I would have an espresso if I could, but those are expensive.
Are they?
Plus, having two coffee machines seems a little bit...
Over the top?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just have a coffee pot and a grinder for the beans. I do it the old
fashioned way. Oh, you're ruining the earth, Catherine. You're literally killing the earth.
Yeah, so
you might as well go drive in an SUV. Oh, you already do.
I do.
Are you trying to kill the earth?
You know, at this point, does it matter what one person does?
Everything adds up.
That's a horrible thing to say. Of course I'm not trying to kill the earth. I do everything in my power. But I'm not giving up my coffee beans.
Wow. So you're doing everything in your power except for changing the way you drive and drink coffee.
This situation we're talking about, it just says the premise of the article is that when it comes to making coffee, the little capsules or the pods have a reputation for being environmentally unfriendly because they're hard to recycle. And I still believe that's true because
That is absolutely true, yes.
But like the premise of the article, they really looked at the agricultural elements and everything that it takes to go into. I think that was where the focus was. Because they said that the agricultural phase was the most polluting phase of this whole life cycle of coffee.
Yeah, what we're talking about is the carbon footprint of a cup of coffee.
The carbon footprint of a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, the Keurig cup, the plastic cups, the little plastic cups that makes one or two cups of coffee or tea, is one of the most environmentally friendly things you can do for coffee. Which is the exact opposite of what the Germans back in 2016 actually started banning them from their government buildings.
And I actually remember hearing about that and I was glad. I still don't understand. But the whole premise was really the agricultural phase.
Well,
and when
it wasn't. That was part of it. They were looking at the whole life cycle of the coffee cup. What does it take to get from the bean to the end cycle of whatever you're using?
Right.
How much energy does it use? And the Keurig, the K-cups or the pods, as they say, because it's not just Keurig, but it's the pods.
Mm-hmm. The pods.
And the soluble coffee, otherwise known as freeze-dried coffee. Those are
instant coffee.
Far much, much more green, use much less energy in their overall cycle than any of the other, the other two being traditional filter coffee, drip coffee, and French press.
I do French press.
Oh, every time you press down on it, you're just killing the planet.
But it has to do with the amount of coffee. And that's where I think there was a flaw in the argument because they really didn't. How I read it, and I could have misread it, but it was from the agricultural phase forward. And they talked a lot about, people overuse coffee. They put too much in their coffee pots. They put too much in their French presses. And if you're just dosing out, basically, in the pods, of course it'll be more efficient because you're captive to that little bit that's in the pod. Well, and same with, if it's already freeze-dried, you're just mixing it with water. You're not doing anything else. And it's pretty much, any more will get bitter coffee. I mean, I think instant coffee is heinous by any regard. But so I thought they kind of missed the boat. And then the end,
I don't see how they missed the boat, though.
Yeah, they missed the boat because of the recycle. Just at the end, they threw a bone and said they suggested using reusable pods. And so I think the reusable pod, at that point, I agree with their argument. But to continue producing things that are not necessarily even recyclable, I don't see how that is not leaving a footprint.
Oh, it does.
Because they didn't take into...
They do. They
I
account,
didn't see it.
Landfill is part of the account for it. And all of them have landfill. And the funny thing is that the difference in landfill impact is negligible. Apparently, because you have to use more coffee to make a French press. Mm-hmm. Plus you have the... Oh, I guess you don't have the filter in that. But so French press has more coffee. Mm-hmm. They wind up with almost the same footprint in the landfill as a pod does. Now, granted, it's going to break down. It's actually good for the soil.
Well, that's what I was thinking because I do, if you compost, I throw the coffee.
Oh, you got to be careful with composting because it is
But
so
I don't compost
filled.
To use. I just compost in the, just little things. But I typically throw my coffee outside. I don't really throw it. you know, and I dig this little hole and it seems to make dirt. Doing?
It seems to make dirt. You are crazy. Well, you got to be careful of that because it is so heavily concentrated with nitrates that it will destroy anything. If you put too much in it, it will, you know, basically.
That's good because I'm trying to kill the weeds in the bath.
Okay. And you know, in a few years, you can probably just scoop up some of your dirt and filter it and have some coffee.
No, it doesn't break down. Maybe I'll stop.
Oh,
doing
it breaks
that.
Down. I'm just saying.
But anyway, yeah, I still think like the little cups, that still bothers me.
Yeah, but the thing is, the landfills doesn't really have much of an impact on the environment.
Okay.
Because as long as it's sequestered, and it's sequestered, that's the whole point of landfills. It's just burying it and sequestering it.
Okay.
But even so, the amount that goes into the landfill is negligible because of the waste. It's really surprising, but you know, once you actually do the scientific research and look at things, you get surprising results. Like plastic bags at the grocery store are better than paper bags because they take up much less energy, so much less energy to use to make.
Do you recycle them like at Sprouts and go put them in the little containers?
Well,
when
I don't
they take
use them
back?
Anymore because I bring my own bags.
Yeah, I sometimes forget to bring my own bags, so I do have a small collection of those. And I typically take them back and recycle them.
We used to do that, but we just don't have enough to recycle anymore because we only get a handful once in a while if we forget or
exactly.
need an extra bag or something.
Yeah, it takes a while. Yeah,
but so. The Keurig still or the pod still looks a little bit gross because you've got this big plastic pod. And the manufacturers talk about, oh, they're recyclable now. They're not recyclable. You have to like do surgery on them to make them recyclable because you have to basically use a knife to cut the filter off of the plastic, and then you have the aluminum, and you still have mixed material. So they're really, maybe at some point they'll be recyclable, but they're not now.
Why don't you just use a reusable one?
Well, then I'd have to get the beans separately.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing. And the beans, you know, they go bad. They don't go bad, but they go stale pretty quickly. If you have the pods are nice because they keep the beans as fresh as they're going to be, right? I mean,
right.
They degrade to a point, but not that much.
Right.
And the freeze-dried, I've actually had some good freeze-dried coffee. So I've been looking at that because that is a lower usage. That does have less greenhouse gas emissions. It's much more efficient. All right, so the argument here is basically the overall use. How much coffee you use really is the determining factor because...
That seemed to be the determining factor.
Growing the coffee and harvesting the coffee is where most of the emissions come from. And so traditional filtered coffee... 25 grams of coffee per cup. Mm-hmm. Pods, 14 grams. French press, 17 grams. So a little bit more, but, you know, negligible. And then the freeze-dried is 12 grams. So that has the lowest amount of coffee. And that's just the recommended dose. The other thing that was found was that most people use too much grounds when they're doing the French press or the traditional filter. So it's even more than that.
Right. I measure mine out. But with the French press, it does look a little pale sometimes, and you just end up throwing
really?
Some more in.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I did French press a little bit, but also had, what's that called? The AeroPress, which is kind of like a French, it's like a more engineered version of a French press. And I found that, you know, the beans, I would waste beans because sometimes they would go stale and I'd have to get new ones, or it was just much more of a hassle. And it seemed like there was a lot more wastage. And I went back, I used it for a couple of years, and then I put it in a cupboard for a couple of years, and I went back to use it last year, I think, sometime. So
right.
I pulled it out, and it's all, the AeroPress is plastic, and it's got a rubber seal plunger on its plunger, and I discovered the thing had just completely broken down and was unusable.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like literally the rubber seal gasket, it had this oil slick on it.
Oh, gross.
That had come from the breaking down, and I was like, holy cow, this thing is terrible.
Right. Ew.
Yeah, my Keurig, I have not had to replace it. I've had it for years.
Hmm.
And the fresh, French press is the same way. The French press is glass and stainless steel, so that thing will last forever as long as you don't drop it.
Right, and I have done that.
Or back into someone's house.
Yeah. One time it bounced. One time it didn't.
So as it turns out, I am the most environmentally friendly person in the world because I use K-cups. And the Germans, I just want to point out, the Germans really get things screwed up sometimes. You know, banning these things which are actually good for the, you know, or not good for the environment, but have a lower impact than most other forms of coffee. At the same time, they were turning off all their nuclear reactors, which also...
They were.
And so now they had to turn on their coal, go back to coal. That sounds good.
That sounds horrible.
I'm a little worried about the Germans.
So can they now use K-cups or... or pods probably or not. Whatever,
it's probably, well, they probably have to reverse the law. They have to repeal the law.
Oh God! And you know how that goes.
And then there was this guy. Was it John Sylvan who invented the K cup years mm-hmm. ago? He says, "Oh, I feel bad that sometimes that I ever did it." He's like, "Well, maybe you should feel better now." As it turns out, you're doing good.
I'm still not totally convinced.
I don't know. What more convincing do you need? This is science.
It's science focused on agriculture.
So?
I don't know. There goes my dog. Don't bark.
No, the other minor details was it wasn't just the agricultural. The other overusage is in how much water you use and how much mm-hmm. energy you use to heat that water. So it's also very common to use too much water. And if you use too much water, you need to heat it more than you would have to for a K-cup.
Right.
You know, K-cup is very precise. It only heats the exact amount of water it needs for that cup. So there's no wastage of energy or water in that case, whereas some of the other methods, you wind up heating way too much water, which takes a lot of energy in itself, and you also are wasting the water.
Oh, boy.
So, again, I'm the best.
Okay, you win.
Without even knowing it, I'm always the best.
I just think the small plastic or aluminum pods, I don't know.
No, I get it. They certainly don't look to be good, right? I mean, it seems like a lot of waste there, and they are. They're wasteful, but... In the end,
I still think you should like de-coffee them and rinse them out. That's even more
effort.
Water. See, yeah. I don't even know what they look like. I think I've only used them like if you go to like an auto dealer. I think Sherwin-Williams had a K-cup thing. That's the only time I've ever had that kind of coffee.
Some actually are claimed to be recycled. Like Nespresso, as you mentioned earlier, actually you can send the pods back to Nespresso.
I would.
So coffee, maybe we should just stop drinking it.
Well, that was a suggestion that you should drink less and that they talked about that in the article.
Yeah, it's a stupid idea.
Yeah, that is a stupid idea. I couldn't do that. You know, they sell a lot of instant coffee at Seoul Market. Maybe I'll buy some.
Like I said, I got some for camping and it turned out to be pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to try it. You know, I shouldn't. It's been a long time and it just was off-putting, but maybe it isn't anymore. So maybe I'll try some.
Do you have an electric kettle?
I do.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty good way to heat up water, generally speaking. You don't have to heat it very much.
I know. I also have a gas stove. Do you?
You know, DeSantis has rescinded sales tax on gas stoves.
Why?
Because that's part of the culture war now. Didn't you hear?
I heard I've always been worried about gas. And I'll tell you something. When I had this house rewired... and all the walls were, you know, open. And I talked to the contractor and I'm like, can you just install like everywhere there's a gas thing? Could you wire it for electrical just in case? You know, I thought for resale. And so this house is totally nimble. So everywhere there's a gas element, you know, the heater, the dryer, the water heater and the stove are ready, set, ready to go.
Fascinating. No, the...
Fascinating, I know.
I don't know who's the FDA, one of the national national bureaus, mm-hmm. came out with guidelines recently saying you shouldn't use gas stoves.
Right, I saw that.
Because they cause asthma. And the Republicans went off their rocker on this. They thought this was an assault on, I don't know, I guess conservative, traditional American values for some reason.
Anything that makes sense, they'll just take the opposite stance. So it doesn't matter what it is. That's my thought. But
DeSantis's comeback was to increase the sales of gas or encourage people to buy gas stoves in Florida. Now, apparently, Floridians have some of the lowest usage of gas stoves in the country, like 6 or 7% of them use it. So like no one in Florida is actually using it except guess who?
DeSantis?
Well, no, but his buddies. Only rich people in Florida have gas stoves. Like if you're going to
buy
a $2 million condo, they all have gas stoves because that's just, it's sexier. So they have gas stoves. So, you know, you can save a few $100 on taxes on your several $1,000 gas stove on your $2 million condo in Florida. So
this is really
saving the common working man who's trying to, you know, save up for his $2 million condo.
That's just ridiculous. Well, you know, I love our stove and it's like a professional grade, of course, you know, but I wouldn't replace it with gas. I was looking at the, invection. What is it?
Inductive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff looks like magic. Why would you bother with gas? The inductive
I know.
Stoves are like magic.
And like they don't get hot and they're run on like magnets or something.
Yeah.
So, magnets. You know, I'm just like,
it's all magnets, Catherine. It's all magnets. Hmm? It's all magnets.
It's all magnets? And then what happens with the magnets?
I don't know. It's inductive. I don't know how it works. It's just magic.
It's magic. So I was looking at that, but those are expensive too.
I don't care.
Expensive.
That's if I replace my stove, I don't care how much it would cost. I would get an inductive stove.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
They're so much better.
If and when. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never cooked well on electric stoves. I burned a lot of stuff. I don't know why. I think I just was used to the drama. I grew up cooking on gas, and we've always had gas. But
if you want to cook over an open flame, you can just go in the backyard and burn some stuff. Like,
exactly.
I'll tell you what. I'll keep all my K-cups, and you can burn those.
Oh, my God.
Those would burn nice.
Yeah, and like the air pollution.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're reusing
it. It's a dying planet anyway, right? That's terrible. Anything else going on?
You know who Malik Efegba is?
Oh, yeah. He's an Nigerian AI artist.
You just looked at your notes, didn't you?
Of course I did.
You cheater. This is not an open book test. I'm too old for that nonsense. You know, all the kids have the open book test now. I don't even know why
they
bother.
Do they even learn?
Who knows? Probably not. They're probably learning all kinds of nonsense. Like E equals MC squared. What kind of... That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, what kind of doorknob decided that?
Anyway.
Anyway.
Good old Malik. He's a Nigerian photographer, filmmaker.
Uh-huh.
And he put together a show for elderly Nigerians in beautiful clothes.
Yeah, fashion show for seniors. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was amazing. Really put a different spin on all kinds of things. You know, mm-hmm. the fashion show for old black people is not exactly what you think of when you think of fashion shows. You think of underfed young females.
Right.
Mostly white.
Mm-hmm.
Or white-ish. So this really stood out, and what stood out even more was how quickly he was able to bring that show together.
Yes.
Like 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds?
I don't know. They say he used three different image generators.
Yes, that's what we're saying. He didn't actually put the show together. He just created the images of what the show would look like by using AI image generators. Masterfully, I would say. These are amazing images.
Right, because oftentimes, like the hands of the AI creations, I mean, I was checking out the fingers. I mean,
leave
they were
the hands
there.
Alone. Come on, man.
But you know what I'm saying. Wouldn't
I
you?
Do.
And I like that he kind of created his own world, like 250,000 years in the past or something.
Right.
Did you read all that?
That was a separate thing, but this, they're both the same in that they're creating like alternate realities.
Yes.
And it was so creative. And so new and different to see. I really enjoyed that.
I really enjoyed it, too.
It's definitely worth looking at. We'll have a link in the show notes. And it's The Fashion Show for Seniors by Malik Efegba. So, obviously, one of the criticisms of this show, quote from the article, one obvious objection is that there are real elderly people and real fashion designers who could have been photographed in the real world.
Exactly, yes.
Right, because there would have been so much funding for old people in clothes. That's the whole point, though, is this project never would have happened in the real world in that way.
Right, and I loved his comment. He's like, I've never seen a fashion show for elderly people, but they exist, so why not? I just love that.
Well, the fashion, too, it really spun everything. He saw whole new types of fashion, whole new types of shows, and it just wouldn't exist without AI.
I know. They touched on the creative controversies, but I mean, if people can put out work like that, I think it's worth it. I mean, it really does expand your horizons and expands the creativity. I was critical of it.
Critical of AI?
Yeah, critical of, like, you know, people losing their jobs. I was watching a, I don't know, YouTube video the other day or something, and this girl was like crying because, you know, they could reproduce her art and she doesn't have a job anymore. I don't know. These people were like weeping openly. But, you know, and I get that and I empathize with that. But if someone can create, but this is what it's for.
Well, it's not necessarily what it's for. There's not, no one said that there are any rules as to what it's for.
No,
but
this
is an example of what can be done with it. This is something
that's what I mean.
We wouldn't see this vision if it was for wasn't if we didn't have AI. We wouldn't see this without
AI. Exactly. No, when I say what it's for, it's like in terms of like opening up the horizons and creating a different level of creativity. I just thought it was really well done.
Right. It's a creative tool.
So, creative tool. That's it.
That's it.
Okay.